This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
When you have a product, how do you know exactly who is your target market? Sure, you can go around and ask your closest family or friends. You could even put it up online and try to get your friends to use whatever product and get their feedback. But what if you need insights into consumers and target markets by the large volume? We're talking about thousands of them. That's where VAST.AI comes into play. My name is Jeff Sandhu and you're listening to Tech Talk. And with me today is...
Hey Jeff, pleasure to be here today. I'm Julie. We are from VAST.AI. We are a market research platform that supplies business with business intelligence that help them to make better decisions. So the unique part about us is that we can do it much quicker and much affordable than the current market incumbents. Mm-hmm. So we see that a lot of business, right, on a daily basis, they make a lot of assumptions in their business. So when the assumption turns right, that's great. But what if the assumptions are wrong? So what we do, very simple. We help people to validate their assumptions as quick as possible. And a lot of times when you think about market research, you think about very expensive research. So what we help people to do is to make market research affordable so that you can then spread out your budgeting and then you can actually make a lot of decisions with smaller budget.
Now, the industry of market research is not something new. It's been around ever since, I guess, you know, people started selling products. So what's changed and how are you different from the traditional way? And also you call yourself VAST.AI. Explain.
Yes. So what changed over the past is how consumer has behaved. So market research is a business that as long as consumer keep changing, it will always be this market research because we are there to research about the market. So what exactly changed is how consumer has been behaving, where they hang out, what do they like, what do they prefer. So one key change is digital. So a lot of time traditional market research focusing on, for example, let's say in a shopping mall, you will remember that people actually stop you to ask you questions. That happened and that is effective when you are out there hanging out in a shopping mall. So it turns out now more and more people actually hang out digitally. So it makes sense for us to actually kind of stop people when they are doing things digitally. So that's the key things that we are leveraging right now. Talking about AI, so we employ a lot of machine learning in a lot of our different processes. So take an example. There are three key activities we do in our business. First, we understand clients and help them to craft the research. We help them to craft questions that best suited their business objective and their research objective. Second thing, we target people in our database so that we can ask them questions. Third thing, we analyze the data and provide them with a report. So what we do is that we put in different machine learning techniques across all these three key activities in our business.
All right. And how did this all started for you? I know you are no stranger to the startup space. You also have two more co-founders in VAST.AI. Perhaps you can explain from the starting itself, the idea, who came up with this idea and how did you all meet and started a company named VAST.AI?
So bringing you back to 3 years ago, so we met each other, three of us, pure stranger, we met each other in an angel hack. So 3 years ago, we actually team up to be doing a pursuing a finance idea because all three of us love numbers. So that's the common interest. 1 hour of Googling, we realized someone else is doing the idea, doing it great. So we realized, okay, we need to find another idea to do because we want to win this 3 days, 2 night hackathon thing. Turns out, after 1 hour of just discussing, arguing, no one gets anywhere. We realized that we can't actually win each other just by saying what is our opinion. So we decided data is the king. So we start off to talk to people around the Angel Hack. There's 300 participants. And we say, okay, so we go out, talk to them. The ones who get the most votes, you know, come back, we do your idea. That's simple. Turns out when we start to do that, we realize one key thing. So people are all either building their own website, building their own app or designing stuff. No one really talking to other people just to validate the idea like we do. Then this piqued our interest and we start asking people, hey, why don't you ask people if they want to buy your site, if they like your idea? They say, oh, I don't know. Is that important? I may not know. Hey, it's 3 days anyway. I don't have that time. So turns out we realize that people may not know the importance or people may not know how to do it. Why not we do this? We do validate your idea as a service. So that's where the name comes. So it's a validation as a service. Take the first initial is VAAS. That's VAS. That's why people were curious about why we call ourselves VAS, VASE. because it's better for SEO, although turns out it's still not better for SEO.
Because you get different kind of images. You get flower vases
exactly,
and stuff instead, right?
Exactly.
But you stuck through it, and there were changes, though, along the in the company's history. 3 years ago, when you joined that hackathon, you won the hackathon as well, if I'm not mistaken, was it?
No, sadly.
So sadly, didn't win. But what you won is you won, you know, two other co-founders that you've then started this company. And initially, you were targeting the startups, and that changed. So why the startups at the beginning?
Yes. So we founded this idea in AngelHack. The first thing that we thought that, startup don't know how to do this. There's an opportunity there. So we tried to validate it by actually in the first 3 months, we set up meetings with a lot of these startups and try to basically sell them with just PowerPoint slides. Turns out it's not sellable because first, they may not actually have budget set aside for market research because if they have money, they would do it for sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. That's a short-term objective. With this, we realized that startup may not be the best place for us to pursue at the current moment. Having said that, we always have the dream that we wanted to democratize the market research industry. Everyone should be data-driven. But slowly, we got enterprise stumble into our website organically and then start asking us, why not you allowed us to use your platform to do this and that? Then we realized, first of all, enterprise don't need our education. Second, they have budget set aside. That become our low-hanging fruit and become our core business until today.
And how quickly did that happen when you started Vasa?
It's not that quickly as we hoped for. I think it took us around 9 months before we land a real enterprise deal.
And how difficult was the whole process? In 9 months, trying to validate your own idea to, you know, your initial target market. And how talk to us that process. And that's the foundations of entrepreneurship is to keep knocking on doors. But you were lucky that a door came knocking on you. But that during that 9 month period, how difficult was that? And keeping your staff also motivated, knowing that what they're doing is great, but we're just not hitting it at this point of time.
Yeah. So funny thing is, you do not know how difficult it is until in hindsight. So if I were to look back 3 years ago and see how do we come to this stage, I may find that it is difficult because I don't know how to get here. But at every point of time, what we realize is that we always know what to do next. However, things may come out actually more positive or more negative. So along the way, we find things that are solvable, not necessarily very difficult, but by putting hard work and then get people to work together, we'll be able to solve that. So one key thing that happened in our startup life that makes it less difficult is we actually have a lot of people helping us. Turns out, actually, Malaysian scene, right, a lot of people are willing to mentor. They're willing to offer advice, not only just in startup, but we have a lot of enterprise people. They are very willing to tell us about market research, how the industry works, how does actually... Because for us, the one key thing is B2B selling. We previously doesn't have experience in B2B selling. We have selling experience, but not B2B. And B2B selling takes other criteria, such as you need to have credibility. In the first year, one of the key challenges, we do not have the credibility. When we walk into the meeting room, because we look slightly younger, the first thing that may come out from their mind is, so which agency did you come from? The key thing is we doesn't really come from the typical agency background. Having said that, although we are good with numbers, people still be a bit more skeptical and answer that questions. But over time, as you show results, that is off from people's table. But credibility is definitely one key thing that we are still building until today. Because as we pursue larger and larger deals, enterprise still want to know whether or not you have it to actually deliver what they are looking for.
Mm-hmm. And you've built a network of consumers that you can tap into when you are, you know, going to do your research. How big is this pool now and how are you reaching out to these people? How are you getting them to be part of your network as well?
So in total, we right now have around 300,000 respondents across Malaysia and Singapore. 250,000 from Malaysia, 50,000 is from Singapore. How do we get them? Mainly all digital avenues. So they have to actually come to getwas.com. So if anyone want to go, getwas.com is the place to go. You basically have to sign up for an account over there. In order to sign up for an account, there's a couple of informations that we need to verify. For us, because we are a tech company, definitely we do our best to attract everything through digital because that's the most lowest cost way for us to be sustainable. Ultimately, respondents is our assets.
Mm-hmm. And how do you keep them, you know, motivated to you keep logging in, or what's the benefit or the return for your network, your pool of network?
Cash. So
simple as that.
As simple as that. Cash is king. Cash is king. One key thing that is different from our kind of business when it comes to having a lot of users with the usual stickiness apps such as Facebook and so on, right? They require a lot of people to logging in on a daily basis. So they constantly want to incentivize people to keep coming back. Market research, we don't really have that elements as much. It's by invitation only. If the criteria fits what the client looking for, then they will get an invitation.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you kind of select on who would actually be beneficial in terms of what you're going to be asking or what the client requires and stuff. Not all 300,000 people would receive this, and then you just have like different kind of numbers and results.
Yes, absolutely.
What kind of insights have you seen throughout the retail space in 2018? Because I know you work with some retailers as well.
Mm.
What do you see across the patterns that happened in last year?
Mm. So we noticed that maybe not just past year, but over a couple of years, right, brand loyalty for certain industry has been going down. Reason why, there has been very easy for consumers to get information, better price, better products, and so on. So we noticed that people are very open to experience new stuff. Okay, definitely different industry, people willingness to experience new stuff is a little bit higher. For example, F&B. F&B, essentially, people like to experience new stuff. The brand loyalty for that is actually quite low as compared to perhaps skin products, because the risk to change is quite high.
Mm.
Mm. But in totality, we see actually brand loyalty has going down. So this is one of the key things that retailer is trying to tackle. How do we keep the people keep coming to the brand? How do we keep the newness or the experience? So that's why now a lot of retail should focus on experience. It's creating the experience that matters. A lot of times when we buy products right now, unless the product you really need to see or unless you're really feeling insecure, then you will go offline to buy it. If not, if you're looking for convenience, if you're trusting the online avenues, you will go online. So how do retailers now need to keep people to actually come to their store? They want to experience something new. They want to see something that, maybe I online very hard to get it.
I'm speaking to Julie Ng. She's the co-founder of Vast.ai, and we'll talk about how to make sense of the data right after this. BFM 89.9.
Business-filled minds. BFM 89.9.
My name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm speaking to Julie Ng, the co-founder of Vast.ai, as we're building up to our retail event Enterprise Rocks, where we'll dive deeper into the best ways to create a fantastic consumer experience. You can check out the agenda at bfm.my/rocks for full information. Early on, we spoke about how you started and the challenges along the way, Julie. So when an organization approaches you and you go out and get the insights from your network to show them the results and the data, how do they use this data to their benefit? And how does a number tell a story?
So instead of going from crafting questions, getting an answer to interpret, we usually go backwards. First, we need to understand, okay, what exactly business decision that you want to make? So from there, right, we know what data you should be collecting, and that becomes a research objective. So working backwards, right, take an example. I want to know whether or not people want to care about my brand as much, or they just come because of promotions. So take an example, as simple as that. That's my objective. So if I know people care more about the brand for my category, then I shall put more budget into branding. But if people want more promotion, you know what? Next year, I probably do a lot of promotions. Okay, so it's very simple, very straightforward already. From there, we will then determine what data we should collect to help you verify it. So when the data comes out, it becomes very straightforward for you to know, turns out people really love promotion A, promotion B. And that actually skew them from come to try. But if get people to try, and if they like it, they actually need more branding, such as loyalty program and so on, to get them hooked up. This will be the data, the decisions that I may use to make. So we usually do it backwards, because if not, too much information around. Right now, it's not just market research get you information. Every day, there's too many information coming from too many different angles that makes business actually kind of too much information for them to make decisions.
Yeah, because most retailers would already have some sort of analytics, whether it's from their website, their online store, and then their Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all these avenues. They would have some insights, so they would have some numbers.
Yes.
But most of them are not quite sure where to begin, where to start. And the best way to do it is to, I guess, reverse that and ask, what do you want to improve, and then find the answer in that way, right?
Yes. So we usually introduce maybe three types of ways. One, look at the first problem. Okay, what's the three core problem? After coming down to three core problems, we go down to, okay, what's the only problem if you can solve? Okay, let's just solve that first. Because sometimes having too many objectives, we can't actually reach that. Two, what's the opportunity? So sometimes some company may not really feel that they have that problem. So then we look at opportunity. What are the opportunities that you think you haven't tapped yet? What is the one key opportunity that you want to try and validate? The third one is then actually going through the consumer journey map. So let's put in our shoes, take off ourselves as marketing manager or the CEO. We think about what a consumer actually going through when they are buying certain things, buying our product. And then think about what do they think, what do they feel, what do they do? These three key things when they are doing all these processes. If can't lay it all out and becoming a consumer journey map, while doing this with team member, people will realize what is the angle they may want to partake.
What are some of the common misconceptions or they misunderstood what data is telling them that you've came across, or some, you know, misunderstandings when it comes to market research, and then retailers are assuming that this is the best way to go forward, that you look at it and go like, hey, actually, this don't tally.
So one misconception is definitely ask as much questions as possible upfront, and then with all the data, then I will come and sift through the insights. Okay, it really doesn't work that way. But just now, as I sort of illustrate a little bit, right? Because actually we do see a lot of clients sometimes may go that way. But with a little bit nudge, they usually know what to do after. So that's the first one. Second one is, if I do not have an idea in mind to validate, the myth is the consumer will tell me what they want. Okay, so this is also a myth that we constantly see. In fact, we do experiment asking consumer, what do you think we should improve? A lot of times, if we give it too broad, the improvement answer may not really be useful. The best way to go around with market research is you think about different ideas, but you're not sure what ideas to go, then you validate with people, because ultimately not every ideas that the consumer throw in will be valid anyway. There's operational constraint. So usually the best way is go by revalidate the idea with the consumer.
Now, you mentioned that when you started off, your plan was to look for the SMEs and the startups, especially who are, you know, looking for validation because they are the ones who are, you know, innovative in space. But yet, you know, budget was an issue for them. Hence, you've pivoted to enterprises and B2B. Are you still going to look at the, you know, the market that you initially targeted, which is your startups? Because, you know, it may seem a little bit expensive. And is cost still a barrier?
In fact, because our cost is much lower, hence actually we have startups customers. It's just not the main category that we will be putting in a lot of advertising dollars into it. However, there's quite a number of startups that I can actually pay, and it is increasingly become important for them to realize that some startup with a route that they want to be data driven. So even with smaller budget at the start, we can actually do something for them.
And what kind of like things would a startup need? Do they need like a team of analytics experts, data scientists in their team in order to actually fully utilize the results that you'll give them? Or is this something that, you know, anyone, no matter what kind of maturity you have in the digital age, you can actually execute plans?
Yes. So pretty much you don't really need a data analytics, data scientist and so on. You just need a person who really care about the business and also knowing what's a frontline business looking like. So people who really know how the business is like in terms of how consumers are actually getting the product, the solutions from them, and they care about it, they usually will be doing fine because we have researchers actually supplying them and helping them to tell them, okay, this is how you interpret and so on. However, our researcher will not be enough to interpret the whole thing, because ultimately you need your company own informations to be able to say, okay, you know what, this is valid, this is not valid for us. Every company ultimately is different.
What are the retail trends or the space that you're seeing now for 2019 that, you know, we should be looking out for?
One is finding the unique differentiation point of our own business. So every business should have an own unique differentiation point. We don't have to be better in everything for every single angle, but every company should have that one angle that they are different. What we notice is right now, because there's too much advertisement efforts, so when you have too much messaging for a certain brand, especially a smaller brand, it's very hard to get through to the consumer. Sometimes sticking with just one messaging, but very consistent, keep popping up in front of the consumer, they will actually remember it. Mm. And all we want is that. So one retail trend that we see is a lot of companies are actually seeing it. This may not be a difficulties or challenge for big brands, honestly, but for smaller brands, being focused and consistent in their messaging is key.
All right. And if you were to leave, you know, we're running out of time for this, but if you have one message for any retailers or branding managers, what would that, you know, message be for 2019 if they were to actually now start to use more of the analytics and the numbers that they have already?
Understanding how the real consumer is experiencing when they are trying to use their brand or trying to use their product or trying to even from getting inspired to aware of the brand to consider to buying the brand and eventually buying the brand and after that using the brand and do they like it and advocate it. So this whole consumer journey experience, right, is something we see that every retail should actually write down so that they can see what are the key things that they want to solve. Not every company should be solving the same thing. That's another myth that a lot of people feel like, okay, everyone is solving the marketing thing, let's solve the marketing thing. So experience is key, finding out the consumer experience.
Julie, thanks for being just so honest and also very insightful conversation. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
That was Julie Ng, the co-founder of Vast.ai, talking about getting insights into your customers and turning them into consumers. If you want to learn more about the retail space, then check out our upcoming retail event. It's happening on the 14th of March. Enterprise Rocks talks about how to give the best customer experience in the retail space. And we've got a fantastic lineup of speakers. Tickets are being sold now at bfm.my/rocks. And if I were you, I would go and get them now before it's too late. If you miss any parts of this show, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM website or the BFM app. Or better yet, you can find us on Spotify. My name is Jeff Sandhu and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.